hallelujah, he is here. How many of you believe that he's here today? Amen. You know, that's the most important ingredient to any church service is him. Right. Because if he don't come, it don't matter what sacrifices were done, it don't matter anything, it's all in vain unless he comes. Amen. Does something to you, and they've got a lot of the new ones that Brother Tim's brought to us, and I like those a lot too. Amen. How about you?
Amen.
I really do. I love to be a Christian. You know, we live in a world that's everything's against it, and there's a lot of things that they call it Christianity, but in the fruits of it, it's not. You know, it's. But you know, I want to be what God called me to be. You know, and I know that's everyone's desire that's here today. I want to speak to you this morning. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. I want to speak to you on a little thought of recognizing revival. Recognizing revival. And I just want to say real quickly, we had a good time last weekend at Pawnee. I heard a testimony of during the prayer line, there was a little boy that had had warts all over his hands for several years. And they said they were just covered plumb through over his hands. And he went through the prayer line, and he didn't even go for a prayer for his warts. He was praying for something else. And the Lord absolutely healed him, 100%. They brought him up on top of the stage. They said for years he had warts and put his hands up like that, brand new hands.
So, praise the Lord.
Let's give Lord hands. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. It says, "And before they were laid down, she come up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that there were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Because of you, the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love you. I ask you that you will help me, Lord, in my nervousness, Lord, to just settle myself down in your presence, Lord. You're leading, Lord. It's you that's directing this ship today. And Lord, I just want to give myself over to you. Touch every heart, Lord, every word that is spoken. Lord, may it not be out of tone, but be exactly the way you have ordained for it to be spoken. Lord, I pray that each person that it's sent to, that it will fall in deep fertile ground, Lord, that will bring forth life. Lord, that is our purposes of being here, Father, because we desire life. And Father, you are the only life, Lord. We love you. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, Rahab recognized the revival that had come upon her. And what was it about these men that caused her to respect them? So I want you to think about this. This Rahab had never seen this God, so to speak. All she had heard was testimonies of a God that answers prayer. Testimonies of a God that moves. Testimonies of a God that parts waters. Imagine this. This woman heard this, But how did she know that these were the men? It could have been any man that walked up there, but there was something about these men that identified to her that she said, these are the men of the revival. These are the men that have been in the presence of a living God. I would that we would have that kind of testimony in our life, that the way we walk, people can look at us and say, that's a person that serves a living God.
Right.
Because of the way they held themselves. Amen?
Amen?
She had never seen this living God, but somehow she recognized him. And these men were carrying the revival. So what characteristic was it about them that caused them to for her to respect them? And these men were obeying the Lord. Because, you know, these men didn't just say, you know what, I think I will go over here and just see what happens. It's not that way. Any time a revival is going to take place, it's because it's God that sends the revival. So God is the one that does the leading, and when God leads you to speak to somebody, God will prepare their heart for the things that you're going to say. Because God works on both ends. Is that right? God don't waste seed. If he's going to send it, his seed will not come back fruitless. It will do what it was sent to accomplish. So these men were obeying the will of the Lord just by going where they're going. And just as a quick thought here for just a moment, because that she received who God sent, she had the opportunity of revival. So I believe that comes down even to the small things in our life when God will lead you or God will lead somebody else to say a certain something, to go to a certain thing. I believe that person is a carrier of an opportunity for a revival.
Right.
What are you talking about, Brother Daniel? Brother Brenham talked one time about a little woman that went through the prayer line. I've used this several times, but I think it's fitting. I think it's true, and I believe it works. But a woman was at a prayer line of Brother Brenham's services. She needed to be prayed for this child. And when she went to that prayer child, mind you, she was going for the revival, so to speak. She was going before a prophet on the scene to have him bring revival. Revival to what? My child is in distress. My child needs healing. My child needs something that man cannot give him alone. That's why I need a higher power. I need something greater than what man can do. Because, you know, you can go to the doctor. The doctor can only do what he can do. Eventually, you have to go to the higher power because man can't do it. The doctor can't heal me. God, if you don't heal, my child is going to die. So this woman comes in there and says, I'm going to the revival, but yet God speaks to a woman and says, you go pray for that baby. And she wrestled with the Lord and said, not me. She's going to go pray before the prophet. And eventually she yielded to the Spirit. And she went to the woman and said, I'm sorry. I know that you're going to go before this brother and he's going to pray for you. But God asked me if I would pray for the baby. She said, please pray for the baby. She loses her seat. She goes, sits down somewhere, and that child goes all the way through into the prayer line. Brother Brenham begins to pray for the woman, says, Lord, I ask you to. This child is already healed. This child was healed over here because a woman over here obeyed the voice of the Lord. And because she prayed for the child. And because she did that, that child was healed. I want you to think about this for a second. That woman could have rejected her revival. That woman could have rejected the revival of her son if she would have said, you know what, I'm not doing this because I'm waiting for this person to pray for me. Whenever, who was the revival carrier at that moment? It was a little woman. Brother and sister, I believe that we as the bride of Jesus Christ are the revival carriers. Whenever we have this word inside our hearts and we are walking with our heads up according to the gospel, we are the opportunity of revival to this world. Whenever we live this life, and there was something inside you, it's not you, it's God inside you, that is the revival carrier. Where's the revival? Right here.
Right.
You are the revival if you're walking in this word. Amen. So whenever we give, when we receive who God sends, we are receiving God the same way. And when God sends someone our way by leadership and we receive them, we receive revival. And Rahab wanted a revival. Imagine the situation she was in. She was beat down. She was living a dirty life. She was needing a revival. And listen to me, friends. We live in a world of people that need a revival.
Yeah.
They need something that's alive. They need something that's real. They don't need someone to tell them when they're wrong. Show them how to get right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are to live a life in such a way where they look at us and they say, I want the God that they serve. Because you know what? They're able, even though they're going through the fire, even though they're going through the valley, they hold their heads up and they keep marching forward. Amen. I want to serve a God like that. Amen. Would you want to serve a God or somebody in some other country that's got some wooden God or a glass God or something that nothing comes from it? You can be sincere. People will be so sincere worshiping the sun. They burn their eyeballs out. But where is the life of that God? I don't want to serve a God like that. But we serve a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If he healed that child over there in Pawnee, Oklahoma, he'll heal a child right here.
Right.
If he healed somebody in the means of Brother Brown, he'll heal them right here. Is he going to body change in the days of Abraham? He'll do it today. Why? He's the same God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Forgive me if I get a little emotional. It makes me happy.
Amen.
Amen. He's the same God, brother and sister. Many times people want a revival, but they don't recognize it when it comes.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity right in front of you to sit there like a lump on a pickle, saying, man, I wish we could have the move of the Spirit. You got it sitting right in front of you. The opportunity, day after day after day, God will give you opportunity of a moving of the Spirit. God will come by, but you don't recognize it. God will come by in your car, you don't recognize it. God will come while you're doing dishes, you don't recognize it. What is it when that Spirit is moving down, brother and sister? It's your opportunity of revival. Sister Hattie Wright was sitting there listening to testimonies, doing who knows what. She had an opportunity of revival. And you know how she got the revival? Something inside her recognized and said, it ain't nothing but the truth. And because she said that at that moment, that woman received a revival right there.
Yeah.
I believe we get a revival every day. When you walk with the
right.
Lord and you're following His Spirit, with the revival, He's stirring something that's already in you.
Right.
You go to the ocean, you see the stirring, it's the same out of water. It's just stirring.
Right.
I would that we had a little more stirring.
Amen.
I can tell you something, when you get the stirring going, it washes out all the trash.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We need a moving of the Spirit. And I want revival on a daily basis. I'm going to give you just a little testimony and try to build my building block is what I feel the Lord's trying to say. As many of you know, and everybody here knows, I come from a pretty rough life. And I come from a broken home. By the age of 13, my family was broke up, my mother and my father. I hit the hard road of life. And when I hit the hard road of life, of course, unfortunately, went into the life of drinking. And I remember going to school, and there'd be people from churches with good hearts that would come there and try to give hope, try to share some gospel. And I'd go sit in those meetings, and I'd try to hear those things that they were saying. I'd say, praise God, God bless those people to this day. Bless them for their efforts and their work. But I couldn't get nothing from it. I'd go there and I'd sit there and I'd listen to and I would leave just as empty as I ever was before. They had a play called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Ever heard of it? It's a play where you go into, you sit inside the church and they've got actors inside there and they'll show the dad and the son and they're awesome, you hit that home run. Awesome, you did the home run, you did it. High five, you did great. And then on the way home, the loudspeakers shows the sounds of a car accident. And all of a sudden, a crash. And then the dad and the son are standing there. And that son's faced with the reality. Dad, you taught me about baseball. You taught me about football. But you didn't tell me about this. And now that boy's got to stand in judgment before God. But he had opportunity. Play after scenario of showing people that had opportunity at the gospel and they turned it down. At the end of the play, I remember I went to the front. I had this thing inside me. It was burning. I said, God, I want to know you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be in your midst. I want to be good. I don't want to live this kind of life. And I remember I went to the front of the altar to there, and they said, well, just put your name on this piece of paper, and then praise God, that's it. That's not it. There's got to be something more than this. That's got to be it. And I left that place just as empty, if not more empty than I ever was before. And brother and sister, I'm telling you, I felt so empty, and I went even further into drinking, further into living this life without the Lord. I remember at God's precise time, I was at a rock and roll party. I took my kids one time and let them see the old house. And I remember the walls were shaking. I remember the sound of the music. I remember the atmosphere was so thick. But out of absolutely nowhere, I knew that there was a God. I knew that there was something real. I said, God, I want to serve a God like that. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, this party's over. They said, man, you're crazy. You need to go lay down. I said, you're right, I do. I went to my bedroom. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to do. I said, God, I've tried churches and I don't get nothing. I tried to go to plays. I get nothing. But God, I know that what you're doing right here, I know this is real. And God, I'll serve you. If you'll show me your truth, I'll serve you the rest of my life. From that day forth, brother and sister, I surrendered my heart to the Lord. I was studying my Bible. I wanted something. I'm here to tell you something. I had a real fire. Something told me you need to communicate with God. So I began to communicate to God. Only way I knew how to do that is prayer and reading my Bible. I began to find an old Bible in that old house I lived in. How in the world I got there, I don't know. But I found a Bible. I was reading a story and couldn't make tells of nothing. Found me a storybook and started reading in the storybook to find a story and find it in the Bible, going back and forth and through my sincerity before the Lord. And the Lord started showing me discrepancies in the Bible right off the bat. This ain't right. This ain't right. This ain't right. God began to deal with my heart of showing me that He is a living God, and a living God will direct you to His Word. Friends, I began to study these things, and I had an aunt that would tell me, Daniel, I heard the things that's happening in your life. I see it in your life. I'm seeing these things. You need to hear about this man called Brother Branham. I said, I don't need to hear anything. I've tried churches. I've tried plays. I've tried all this. There's nothing there. She said, you got to try it over and over. She kept trying. Eventually, my car got wrecked, and I needed to buy a car. I went to a precious sister, Rhonda Hart. I went over there to buy a car from her. When I went to their house, I'm telling you, I can feel just His presence just right now as I felt then. I went there with the motivation to buy a car. And when I went there, she said, Daniel, I want to give you this sweet tea, a glass of tea, and I'm going to give you a book. And she gave me a book. It was As the Eagle Stirs His Nest. And I remember I sat there on that front porch on a swing. I was swinging that swing. And that same presence that come down in that rock and roll party was the same exact presence that come down on that swing right there. And I began to see, this is me. This message is talking about me. It was identification. It was something that was real. I'm going to tell you something. God met me at a rock and roll party. God met me on a swing sitting on a porch with a glass of sweet tea. And I said, God, I want to serve a God like that. And because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to tell you something from the abundance of my heart, brother and sister. The root of this message, I believe it, I love it. But what I see happy around the message, that's not right. From the depths of my heart, what I'm seeing, no, that's not right. Because I'm telling you, He is the same God. He's the same God that can break the shackles. He's the same God that can restore families. Right. He's the same God that can fill with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, that same God, a chicken, you know how it's born? He's going to peck himself through that it burned it out of me. Yeah. I no longer have a desire for it. He's the same God. We live in a day right now, people are sitting in massive churches with devils on them. Where they're pornography and filth, dressing nakedness. Yeah. Why? The world is trying to come inside the churches. The world's trying to come into the homes. If that was wrong back then, it's wrong today.
Right.
He's the same God.
Amen.
We don't need to change the gospel. Go back and do what it said.
Yeah.
Amen. He that knoweth to do good and don't do it, it's sin.
Right.
Hello. When you know you shouldn't be doing this stuff and you keep doing it, it is sin.
Right.
Brother Barham talked about the cistern. I've seen it myself firsthand. No, I have a cistern. When you have a cistern, it's stagnant water that sits there and people will go dip out of that and drink out of it. They're not trying to condemn the people. It is what it is. You got to do what you got to do. They'll have water from the roofs that goes down into that cistern. And they will put socks on those things to catch most of the bugs. The missiles go right on through, so to speak. And them cisterns have got wiggle tails. They've got lizards. They've got all kinds of things. Why? It's an environment that they feel welcome in. It's an environment where they can come there. They are attracted to. But I'm going to tell you, you clean up the cistern and you get the moving of the water going through there, and it will clean itself. I'm here to tell you that's what's happening in churches, brother and sister. They're turning into a bunch of cisterns. We can have the prophet's quotes. We can have the scriptures. Listen to what I'm saying to you today. If you don't have the moving of the Holy Spirit, your church is dead. If you don't have the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are dead. Am I telling you the truth or not? Brother and sister, what is it that makes the denominational church dead? Because it's nothing but a lodge because the Holy Spirit is left there.
Right, yeah.
The letter killeth, it's the Spirit that gives life.
Yeah.
You know, a doctor, I can go to a doctor and say, doctor, I want you to heal me. My sister-in-law's got the broke hand that Brother Tony brought up. Thank you for that, brother. She's got a broken hand. Could you imagine her going to the doctor and saying, doctor, heal me? He can't heal her.
Right.
The only thing that doctor can do is set it and put it back in place, but it takes God to heal her.
Right.
What is the heals? Life.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, we need life.
Because
you can put things together all you want to. If God does not bless it, your work is in vain.
Yeah.
I do not want to work a work that's in vain. And my life, my children's life, my grandson's life, your life, brother and sister, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
We cannot control the things that happen to us.
Right.
There's things that's happened in this. There's not a thing you can do about it. The only thing I can tell you to do, brother and sister, is you stay in the moving of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And say, Lord, you are God.
Amen.
Because listen to me, when David began, when he had to go fight Goliath, David did not go in his own strength. David was in the will of the Lord. And listen to me, the greatest armory that you can put in your life is knowing I am in the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
My bills, I may not know how I'm going to pay my bills. I may not know how to do this. I may not know how to bet. But one thing I do know, I am in the will of the Lord.
Yeah.
In my heart, I am at peace.
Yeah.
And listen to what Brother Daniel's saying to you. If you do not have that peace inside your heart, I don't care how peaceful it is. I don't know how rocky it is. That's the most important thing in this walk. This world is your walk with the Lord. Because listen to me, only you know if you've got that Holy Ghost moving in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Brennan talked about there's several quotes. You can break it up. I'm not going to weigh you down with a bunch of quotes. Many times, talk about people that believe so far in legalism. You can do everything right because I have to. I do this. Listen, my brother and sister, it goes back to love. It's not about me, it's not me making myself quit drinking alcohol because it's legalistic, because my church doesn't agree with drinking alcohol. I'm making myself stop. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going to dress this certain way because my church teaches that I shouldn't dress this way. That's not it.
Right.
It's you love the Lord. and you know it offends him.
Amen.
And that's why I don't do the things I do.
Right.
And listen to me, when you take it from that approach, brother and sister, and then when you stumble and fall, what was your motivation to do it in the first place before you failed? Because I love the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right. Get back up, dust yourself off, and start marching.
Listen,
because we are all fighting a devil where we are in the darkest age there has ever been. Absolute million demons aimed at you every single day of your life. Your motivation cannot be, well, because my church, it's because I love the Lord.
Amen.
From my heart, God, I love you. He reminds me of the story about, I can't remember, Brother Bam said, the man that was standing there, the king was coming by. And the man began to cry. He began to weep. He looked at him and said, what are you crying for? He said, that's my king. That's my king right there. He thought to himself, if someone can have that much sincerity and that much respect on earth of a king, how much more respect should we have of a heavenly king?
Amen.
Of one that will come down into our midst. You know what? If we had a celebrity come by, and it was, you know, some kind of great celebrity, I start naming names up. You probably don't know any of them. I'm trying to think of one. Michael Jordan, okay? Maybe everyone knows Michael Jordan. You know, if he was to come by, you would prepare your house for him. You know, you would make sure the grass was cut. You would make sure the curtains are fixed right. Sisters, you would mop that floor, even the spots you don't normally mop. Hello? You would make sure everything was right. Why? Because Michael Jordan's coming. If President Trump was going to come to your house, how manicured would you make things be? I got to have everything right. Why? Because President Trump is coming to my house. Can you think of it? Van Buren, Arkansas. Trump is coming. You would make sure everything was right. Why? Because of who he is. It would be such a respect. It would be such an honor. It would be such a privilege. And whenever he come, you would say, Mr. Trump, I want you to come in this house. I want you to feel welcome. Sit here. I want you to try my wife's taters and her beans. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how good a chef you got, this is the best right here. Amen. I'm telling you what, you come here, you want sweet tea, I'm going to show you something. Get away from that McDonald's stuff. I'm going to give you some sweet tea because I'm going to show you how we make sweet tea black family style. Right? That's right. Come on, somebody. You know what? Because why? He's the president. I'm excited about him to be here. I'm going to be motivated. It reminds me of whenever Melchizedek come to Abraham, you know, they went to go get the calf. He didn't say he half-heartedly went and got the calf. It said he ran to get the calf. Grabbed the calf and ran back to Sarah. Said, prepare this. Because why? He's here. He's here. Prepare it. He's here. Get ready. And he didn't sit down with his feet propped up. He stood watching, waiting. What can I do to make you feel more welcome? I want you to feel welcome here. What was it? He recognized his opportunity of revival. And because he did, he was up about it. He was about the business. He was about the Father's business. And that's what I would be doing if Trump was at our house. Hannah, if you've ever served, today's your day, sis. You serve. Don't let that cup come empty. President's here. Brother and sister, how much more should we do it with the King of Kings?
Amen.
When his presence comes down, we should stop what we're doing. When his movement comes down, I don't care if you're in the car, I don't care if you're doing laundry, I don't care what you're doing, when his presence comes down, you stop.
Amen.
And say, my King is here. My King is here. When you do that, brother and sister, you watch and see if God don't give you a revival.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the middle of the night and that Holy Spirit drops down over your bed and you feel that pull in your heart to get up and pray, don't you turn over. Don't you push that off and say, I'll pray in the morning. You get up right then.
Right.
And you get on your knees and you go find somewhere and you get somewhere to pray and you see if the revival don't come into your midst. Imagine if Abram would have taken that lightly when Melchizedek was in there. Brother and sister, he recognized his opportunity. And listen, we need to recognize our time of revival.
Amen.
Amen. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 46.
I know a lot of people look at this like a story, a children's storybook, but I'd like for you to let's behold this as the holy word as we read this. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there come a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And I'm just going to stop here for just a second. I'm here to tell you something. That devil has been defying the armies of the living God. He has no right. David said, "Moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion." Who delivered the lion? Did David do it to himself? No, it says the Lord delivered it. "Moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Mind you, his confidence was in his gods, not even in his own strength. An uncircumcised Philistine has enough sense about him to not depend on his own strength. He was doing it by his gods. Brother and sister, why don't we do that? I'm not coming to you with my strength. I'm coming the name of God against my trial. Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David looked at him, and Saul tried to put his armor on top of him and said, "David, whenever you go fight Goliath, this is how I want you to go fight him." David tried doing it. Is that right? David took the armor and put it upon him and said, "Okay, I'm going to go fight him now." And David, when he put that on there, he said, "I can't do this. I have killed a lion. I have killed a bear. But I cannot do that with this armor. I have to do it." In other words, it was a different fire. "You, David, I know you have overcome this trial, this lion. I know you have overcome this trial, the bear. And you did that with a fire. But let me show you another fire. Let me show you another way that you can overcome your trial." Listen to me. David had enough sense about him, said, "I'm not trying a different fire. I'm staying with this original gospel. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God can deliver a lion, he can deliver a bear. If God can deliver them, he can deliver this uncircumcised Philistine."
Listen to me, brother and sister. They're the devil that is an uncircumcised Philistine defying the army of the living God. Bold enough to come inside message churches to try to destroy marriages. Come inside and message churches. And you watch. You'll start trying to bring homosexuality right inside message churches. That devil, uncircumcised Philistine, will rise up and cause people to continually dress more worldly, ungodly. We are not to come against them with a different gospel. It's the same gospel. Yeah. It's wrong. Yeah. I've preached it from the pulpit over and over and over. But I'm here to tell you, for a man to wear shorts, it is wrong. For a woman to wear garments that pertain to a man, it is wrong.
Right.
It's the gospel. It does not change. It don't matter who you are. Because there's going to come a day. That's why you don't have revival. But because if you let the world in, God cannot bless that.
Right.
You know what? Because people don't want you to preach that anymore. Because you know what? Your feelings will lead you straight into the great tribulation period. I know what I'm talking about. The scripture says if a man does not preach it, it is blood on his own hands and on his own head. But whenever he preaches it and you don't do what you're supposed to do with it, it's blood on your own hands.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. We must be born again.
Amen.
Yeah.
You cannot go in the rapture and hold on to the lifestyle of this world. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot commend yourself with your friends. What your friends think, it don't matter what they say. What does God say?
Right.
What does the Word say? Because that's the absolute.
Right.
You know what brought me to this message? Because anytime that prophet preached, he took us right back to this.
Right.
And it offends people when you say, this is my absolute.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, the message is my absolute. Let me tell you something. The prophet had a progressive revelation. How can you take someone that's got a progressive revelation and say, that's my absolute? You will get yourself all tangled up.
Yeah.
You got to take everything that prophet said and take it back to this Bible. Because
right.
When you do that, you're marching with solid ground because you're taking it back to the Word.
Right.
But if you're taking it just to what a prophet said, I'm telling you what, I'm going to get myself in all kinds of trouble before it's all over, I'm sure. If I'm on the soapbox, I may as well just go ahead and get it out. There's many times Brother Brennan would say a certain thing in a certain demeanor to a certain people. Because in that meeting, he's dealing with a contentious spirit of a woman that has defying him while he's preaching. And he'll hit hard at that sister, pushing that because he's dealing with that spirit. He'll talk about the exact same thing about somewhere else. And he can say just as sweet as he can be because they're receiving it. Hello. But many around the message, they will take that hard and they will hurt more sisters and more families and do more harm because they're saying in a demeanor that he did not intend it to be. How can you make a message your absolute whenever he's having to do with different places, different people, different this, different that? He'll be at some sister that don't know any better about the pants, and he'll be just as sweet as can be about it and try to tell her, but hey, you know, sister, show the truth. You know the message, listen to it. Somewhere else, he'll absolutely rake the coals off of her. Why? Because she knows better.
Yeah.
And she's defying the spirit. He said it this way so many times. If you were in a water, going over a waterfall, he said, I would break your arm to get you out of that boat if I've got to. Listen to me, a minister will break your arm if he has to tell you this is the truth. Because if you don't listen to what I'm saying, there's consequences.
Right.
We are fighting a devil. And it's from the pulpit to the back door.
Yeah.
When I look at the fruit of this message and I can listen to the roots of this message, I say, amen.
Yeah.
But what I see around, I'm not condemning message churches, brother and sister. I don't care about, I'm talking about, brother and sister, what I see out there. I care about you because you're the one I'm preaching to right now.
Yeah.
Right.
there is a real root of this message that takes you right back to the Bible. And listen to me, I remember if I'm talking about in Pharaoh's tomb, they had some wheat seed that had sat there for thousands of years in a tomb and nothing took place. They took the exact same seed and put it in the right ground, in the right atmosphere, and it brought forth wheat. Because it's the same seed. And listen to what I'm saying, but we will take this gospel, take this word, and put it in the right environment. You will see the right fruit.
Amen.
How many of you want to see fruit?
Amen.
I'm not content with just going to church. I'm not content with just going through the flow. Listen to me. Year in after year out, year in after year out, year in after year out of playing with it, playing with it, playing with it. I've illustrated it by using a tiller. You go through the tiller and you see the rock and you go around the rock. Year after year after year, the gospel plow will come at you and hit you again and you know it. And you'll go around it. You'll let go around it. Year after year after year after year, you let that thing sit there, sit there, sit there, sit there. Listen to me. At some point, you've got to address the rock.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to address it, brother and sister. Listen to me. There is a real life of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The scripture says these signs shall follow them that believe. I can sit here and tell you testimony after testimony after testimony of seeing what God has done. God has done. God has done. God wants you to be able to give those exact same testimony because you're serving the same God.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen? Don't let that out there. It don't matter what happened out there. The only thing you're going to give an account for is what you did with the gospel. And recognizing a revival when it is knocking right at your door. As I was saying, brother, as Trump was coming to my house, we make sure everything is in order. We make sure things are prepared. Why is he coming to your house? It's because he's got a message. Now, won't you catch what Brother Daniel's trying to say to you? God don't do anything just to do it. Now, I do silly stuff all the time because I'm human. I'm a goofball from time to time. You do things sometimes and there's really no reason why you did it. God don't do that. If God's unctioning you to yield to him, it's because God has designed it. God's doing it. Isn't that awesome? God does it for a specific reason.
Amen.
You are an army. You are a soldier, and you're listening for orders. And when that spirit moves to you, it says, I want you to testify to that sister right there. Be instant soldier and testify to that sister. If God moves upon you to testify to that man at the gas station, you be instant soldier and testify to that. Because listen to me, whenever you are carrying the anointing of God and you're being led by the Spirit of God, you can give that man a revival.
Yeah.
That woman that's going through the trial of her life, going through what she's going through, whenever you're going under the anointing of God, led by God, and God unctions you to speak, and you speak as a testimony, you can bring a revival to that woman, to their family. That is what we are called to. Is to be a mercy seat in this hour to where we live in a dying world and they need a revival. They need something that's real.
Amen.
They don't need someone staring their nose down at them. They need somebody to hold their head up high and walk like a soldier.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to tell you something. I know it's hard right now. We live in the darkest day, but I serve a God that provides. I serve a God that meets my needs. And you testify about what God's doing, and you don't even realize that you're bringing light to the situation. And someone's getting faith from your testimony.
Right.
I remember one time I was at a low point in my life at Breeden Dodge before I left. I was just feeling just like, Lord, am I doing anything for you? I felt like I was wasting my time. All I do is sell cars, and nobody opens their doors for me to preach here. So, Lord, what am I doing? Am I wasting my time? Sitting there, and there's a man all the way from Florida. They called in, and he said, hey. I said, I know. He says, you're Daniel Black, right? I'm like, yeah, this is Daniel Black. He said, you sold me the CrossFit 200. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes, I remember that. He said, well, he said, I called me crazy. He said, I was going down the road. He said, the Lord told me to call you and say you are not wasting your time. Whenever you went out of your way, and he said, and you preached the gospel to me right there in that car. He said, I'm going to tell you, I've been serving God ever since. I said, buddy, I praise you. Thank you for calling me that. Thank you for letting me know that. You know, God thought so much of me that he called a man all the way from, he could have done somewhere in Fort Smith. Why? All the way from Florida to show me how important it is. The little things that we do, the little things that we say. He said, I was all the way down there. He said, and you preached the gospel to me sitting inside your car. I've been serving God ever since.
I'm here to tell you, your light is just as important. Whenever you testify about what God's doing in your life, listen to me. When you do that, you are touching lives. You are with that woman at the well. The devil tried to tell her, "Don't waste your time. Don't be trying to tell people what God's done in your life. Don't do that." She said, "Get out of here, devil! I don't care what you got to say." She ran into the town and said, "Let me tell you about a man. Let me tell you about a God that told me all about my life. Let me tell you about a God that does it." It wasn't her job to convert the people. Hello. It was not her job to preach, so to speak. It was her job to testify.
Yeah.
Testify about what God's doing. And these men come and said, "We are here because of her testimony." And then after they heard the same gospel, they were converted. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Brother and sister, that's your job. It's to testify. This is, I serve a living God. Don't talk the devil's language. If you're talking and saying, "You know what, I'm depressed, I'm beat down, I don't know what I'm going to do. Why in the world would God want to serve a God like that?" Hello?
Yeah,
I felt that too. Well, time, we have a tendency. We talk about all the things that's wrong. This is going wrong. This is going wrong. This is going wrong. Don't talk about that. You're talking the devil's language. Say, "My God is real. My God answers prayer. My God delivers. My children are saved. I have a token. Because I respected the revival that come to me, I have a token. And my God is going to deliver my family. My family is going to be saved." And listen to me, when you talk to your wayward loved ones, you talk to them like they're saved. You call them brother, sister, hello. You treat them like a brother, you treat them like a sister, and every time you do that, before you go, "Lord, I ask you to help my brother, help me to project such an atmosphere around me that they'll want what I have." Because a lot of times, I'm afraid we're projecting just the opposite. Because we all got this guy right here.
Yeah.
You know, we got a seed, a germ of a wheat seed inside of us, but we got a cocoa wrapped all the way around us. And that life on the inside of you, it wants to project wheat, it wants to project the image of Christ, it wants to project the gospel of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The life, the seed inside you wants to project, but you've got this guy right here, he's got such a cocoa nature. You know what a cocoa is? You go through the pasture and you get them cocoa burrs all over your pants. You can tell yourself, "I'm going to be as gentle as I can walking through these weeds and not get cocoa burrs on me." You can get cocoa burrs on you. They're sticky. And we live in a world, brother and sister, we got cocoa burrs all around us. That devil is trying to constantly wave it at you, get the cocoa burrs all over you. We fight a devil every step of the way. But listen to me, when he was led by the Spirit of God, and my motivation is, I love God. I love him. Brother Tony, could you imagine? I know you love your kids as much as I love mine. Can you imagine telling your child, "I want you to go to the backyard. We're fixing to go to church. Church is taking a start. I want you to go to the backyard, and I want you to pick up this can that I have out there because I need it for something right before service. But don't get dirty." Could you imagine them going back there and then the cocoa bird gets all over them and they're trying as hard as they can to get whatever you told him to get and they get cocoa burrs on them. Could you imagine him saying, "You piece of trash. I told you not to do that." He would never do that. Why? He loves her. And he told her the message. He told her the mission of what to do. And whenever she was trying to listen to what he said, in the midst, she got dirty and she fell down. I'm here to tell you something. That right there, that I just use as an example. We use each other as an example all the time. That's the same way as when God tells you to go do something. You go do this, and in your best intentions, you're trying to do something for the Lord. Your best intentions, when you go to work, you are not going to work to be a bad person. When you're going to work, you're going because I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And in the midst of that stinking devil will put cocoa burrs out there and everything else to trip you up, cause you to fall, cause you to do this, and then he'll ridicule you for falling. He'll ridicule you for falling flat on your face. And the whole time, the Father knows, and he's looking at you, and he said, "Don't worry about it. Get back up. You've got this. I got a little boy back there, 6 months old. He's Papa's boy. He may not know yet, but he is. Speak the word, right?" He's not crawling yet, but eventually he'll start crawling. And eventually he'll start tottering. And eventually he'll start
start walking.
The more mature he gets, the better he'll get. But you know what? You've got to give him time to grow. You can't do it flat across the board and say, all right, he's up to the standard. Now everybody must walk like this. It don't work that way. God works on an individual level in each person's heart where everyone's got to start a place where you're saying, goo, goo, ga, ga. Everyone's got a part where you're going to start crawling. Everyone's got to start somewhere where you're toddling. And everyone's trying to get to the place where you're walking. You know, could you imagine him to have him crawling to the floor and say, all right, I'm going to, little Noah, I want you to get, are you listening? He didn't pay attention. Look at him. I'm saying your name, Noah. I can't ridicule him for that. He don't know. All he can do is walk in the light that he has and the ability that he has. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to assist every bit I can. I'm going to make him laugh. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. Why? Because that is his individual level. I'm here to tell you, every person has an individual level where God knows exactly where you're at. He knows if you're in goo-goo, ga-ga stage. He knows if you're walking stage. He knows if you're in crawling stage. And God is not disappointed in you.
Amen.
God knows right where you are. You are right on track of where he has foreordained you to be and for where he has foreordained you to go and where God has foreordained for you to end up. He has foreordained you that you will bear fruit and your fruit shall remain.
Yeah.
Brother and sister, all I want to do is I want to get past this goo-goo ga-ga stage. I can't seem to get past it. I see all you guys walking on. I'm about to give it. But you know what? You got to give grace for me because I'm part of the body.
Yeah.
And you can't be perfect without me.
Right.
Listen to me, brother and sister. God is an individual tutor. He knows exactly where each one of you are. He knows the trial that you're going through. He knows the worries you have about your family. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning?
Amen.
God hears the worry and the concern that you have about your family.
Amen.
He knows. He's never left you. All he's asking you to do is trust him.
Amen.
Every day, you testify and don't give that devil any credit whatsoever. You testify and say, following my tutor, I'm following this Holy Spirit. I asked him to bless my family, and God has outlined in the scriptures what it takes for him to bless a family. I'm doing that to the best of my ability. Now, if you're doing things you know you shouldn't do, then you need to address that. But listen to me, if you, by the best of your ability, are taking, applying the word to your life, of realizing I am only saved by his blood. I'm only saved by his grace. He's the one doing this. Listen to me, it's his job to put it together. It's his job to bring it all back. He takes the worry off of it.
Yeah.
I've seen so many times where I don't know how I'm going to meet my need. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've got a few more minutes. I'll give you another testimony. I like to testify the living God. Amen?
Amen.
I remember whenever I lived in Pecola, and I didn't know I was doing everything right to the best of my ability. I was faithful with my tithes. I was faithful with my offering. I was faithful with church. I was trying to be faithful all the way around the best that I could. And listen to what I'm saying. I just felt like I just could not make ends meet. I felt like I was absolutely failing. And in my midst, while I was working at Hickory Springs, I was a bandsaw operator. My lunch hour every day, I'd take my Bible, I'd read my Bible for a few minutes, I'd know where I was at, I'd pray every day, I'd do that, Lord, I just love you, not because I felt like I had to, because that was my fellowship with the Lord. That was my time with him. When I would do that, I'd just fellowship with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I love you, and I'd do my devotions, and the Lord forgive me, I got to tell all, I was off the clock, but I got this big mattress, I had this bandsaw table that you would put the foam on it, and the blade stayed stationary, you'd push the table, and you would cut the foam. Well, this table was big underneath. I had a big old foam block underneath it. I made a bed out of it. So every single day, I would eat my lunch, I'd pray, and I'd lay there and take a little nap. Brother Jim? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Every single day, I would do this. I would do this because this was my time with the Lord. I'd meditate and doing these things. And this time, all my bills, I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I didn't know how I was going to do this. I didn't know how I was going to do that. I was standing there walking this table, and my supervisor came by there, and she said, Daniel, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she said, I'm just so stressed out. I said, what are you stressed out for?
She said, I just need to sell this house. She said, I'm afraid I'm going to lose everything because I can't afford it. She said, I've had it on the market for like 2 years. She said, I can't get no bites on it, nothing. Stop here for just a moment. Months before that, we were needing the money, the finances. Vicky was pregnant with this little girl right here, right, Hannah? I think that's right. You get four kids, you get them mixed up. She's pregnant with Hannah. I made just enough money to where I couldn't get WIC or food stamps. But after the net, after they take their taxes out, you don't have any money. I couldn't do it, and my cupboards were empty. My icebox was empty. And I was having to walk from Pecola to Arcoma. Pretty good walk. I'd get up at like 3:30 in the morning and start walking to get to work by 5:30. And work all day long and walk home. And I'm telling you, it was hard work. And I remember walking down that highway, holding a water jug, and thinking to myself, where am I feeling? I pay my tithes. I pay my offering. I'm not out drinking. I'm not out doing this stuff. I'm just trying to be a good dad. Where am I feeling? And I remember walking down that hallway, and I just thought, I don't even know what to do. And I went to the house, and Vicky met me at the door. And she said, I'm sorry, I could not cook you supper. She said, we don't have anything to eat. Nothing. Look at her, and I felt like a failure. I looked at her and said, baby, I don't understand it. We serve in a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't understand it. I said, I'm just going to go take a shower. And I went to the shower, and brothers, I don't know if you've ever been there, or sisters, you may know what I'm talking about. Just cry like a baby. Get inside the shower and say, God, I don't know what to do. I have literally done everything I know to do. I am absolutely at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. And I get out of the shower, and I go into the living room. I'm sitting down on the couch, and we hear a knock at the door. And it was a woman that stood there at that door. And she said, Daniel, she said, my mother's got cancer and got these problems. Said, I just bought all these groceries. And she said, I don't need them. She said, I hope I don't offend you. She said, I don't think I'm crazy, but I thought you might want them. I said, yeah, we do. So we got enough groceries out of that to fill the cabinets, fill the refrigerator, and we had fried eggs. I know it sounds crazy. We had all kinds of stuff, but I want fried eggs. That same woman was this woman where I'm sitting over here, and I'm thinking to myself, here, God, I'm in a tight spot here. I don't know what to do. And she said, Daniel, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've had this thing on the market for over 2 years. She said, I just don't know what to do. And something spoke out of me and said, I'm going to pray for you right now. And God's going to save your house. And she said, oh, thank you. That's wonderful. And she walks away. And I'm thinking to myself, I literally just told this woman she's going to sell her house. And she walks away. And I'm like, I get back on my knees. I'm really afraid. Oh, Lord Jesus, I do not want to be a liar. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't mean to say what I said. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, oh, God, help this woman. Help this woman. God's my witness. The very next day, she come by. She said, Daniel, she said, I was over. They put me out of that department, put me way on the other side just for the day where I was. They would have all the bad foam when you stick inside of a garbage disposal. Basically, they would compact it. And I was working that with a terrible job. She said, Daniel, I got to come see you. I got to come tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, I got an offer on the house. I said, are you serious? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm sweating like crazy, kind of like I am right now. And I said, praise the Lord. I said, no, right? I said, well, I told you. I told you, didn't I? Of course, now I'm Mr. Faith. You know, like, I told you, bless God. Yeah. You know, over here, I was like, oh, Lord. There was another woman. Her name is Sandy. And I would get a kick out of her. She's a muscular woman. And she had a big old measuring tape. That thing was like that big around. It was hilarious. And she came to me, and I was working my bandsaw, and she walked over, and she said, Daniel, had a real high-pitched voice, Daniel, I've been good to you too. Liz told me because you were good to him, good to her, that God would sell her house. And that high voice. And she said, well, I've been good to you too. I said, you have been good to me too. I said, Lord, I ask you to help her with her house. And she said, oh, sweet Jesus. I said, no, I can't guarantee you. I said, the Lord didn't tell me that. I said, but I'm going to pray for you. God's my witness, brother and sister. She come to me. It was like 2 or 3 days later. She come to me and said, Daniel, you ain't going to believe this. She said, my house is sold. High five.
have faith for yourself. I can have faith and see things like that take place. Faith and things like that. Faith. And I can have faith, try to have faith for my own stuff, and I can't do it.
And then I found out the prophet had the same problem. Said that he would be out and be praying for someone that's got problems with him and absolutely heal him, and then find out he's got a foot that's swelled up about like that. Because the gift was not for him, it's for other people. And you know what? Not in a prophet's level, but each one of you, you have a gift inside your life. I'm going to close right here, okay? Hang on to me. Every one of you have a gift inside your life that you can pull the heartstrings of God like no other.
Amen.
You have a position in this life. If you walk in that position the way you know you're called to do it, you can ask your petitions and they're not even cancer will stand before you. The prophet had the same thing. He said, not even cancer will stand before you. And he had a message. And if you are embracing that same message inside your heart, and that message is inside you, you can pray and say, God, whatever this mountain is, I ask you to move my mountain.
Amen.
And then you testify. Let's all stand. This did not go the way I expected it to go. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There are Goliaths all around, brother and sister, and they are defying the armies of the living God. And we will defeat those Goliaths exactly like you defeated the lions and the bears in your life. Don't try it a different way. He's the same God, brother and sister. If you'll be sincere for him, and you'll find out many times he delivers it in a way that you didn't even know he would do it. I'll give you one last testimony, then I'll shut up. Okay. Sort of sound like a brother forest farmer. You know what's happening? I'm going to give you a testimony. Give me a testimony. I think maybe the older I get, I'm thinking the same way he does. I remember we were going to buy our house that we live in now. And our house that we have was fine, but we were tired of it. We just wanted something different. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We said, Lord, I want you to, after my dad's passing, and I needed a change. And so we got approved for the house that we're in, and just absolute awesome rate, and everything was good, and the car business went absolute south, and I had no cars out whatsoever. And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I'm thinking to myself, you are fixing to double your house payment, or over double your house payment, and you are selling nothing. You have no cars on the board whatsoever. You have nothing on there whatsoever. What are you thinking? And I began to look at the circumstances. I began to number Israel, so to speak. And I sat there, and I said, you know what? You're right. And I stood up to call my wife, to tell her, I'm sorry, we're canceling everything, we're staying where we're at, because I'm afraid we're going to do that. And the Lord smote me and spoke to my heart and said, stop leaning on the arms of your flesh and rest on me. And I said, Lord, forgive me. And no cars whatsoever, brother and sister, coming out at all. I had no cars out at all. And an absolute miracle. Car come in and say, I talk to the customer and say, I have no cars on my lot. You can't get cars during COVID time. No cars. He'd say, it looked like we're out of business. We had no cars. He said, I'm looking for this specific vehicle. Do you have it? I said, actually, I've got one right over here. Give it right here and take a trade in. And then somebody else called and said, I'm actually looking for this vehicle. I said, actually, I just traded for it. It's right over here. Over, over, and over, and over. And over, and God gave the best month I ever had in car business whenever it should have been absolutely the worst. It had nothing to do with me. It was Him.
Amen.
And listen to me, in your circumstance that you're in, say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how. Listen, catch these words as we close. Stop leaning on the arm of your flesh and lean on Him.
Amen.
He will take care of it. Amen. Brother Tim, can you come forward, brother? That was my opportunity of revival, was that still small voice that said, stop leaning on the arms of your flesh and rest on me. What if I would have ignored that? Brother and sister, sometimes your opportunity of revival is just a still small voice that'll say, just trust me. Don't rest in yourself. Trust me. I'm going to take care of it. I haven't lost control. I'm going to take care of it. He's steering the ship. He's still the captain.
Don't worry about yourself. When those disciples were on that boat, listen to me, they were giving testimony after testimony after testimony, and the devil caused a big wave and all these things. What was he trying to do? Steal away their revival. Listen, that devil was trying to cause waves, waves after wave after wave, trying to get you to doubt this message. Doubt this. Go another way. Go in this way. Listen to me, Brother Tony. Keep towing the line straight down the middle. We don't want to try a different armor. We don't want to try a different feeling. We want to say, God, you're the same God. If you've ever restored a family, you'll do it today.
Amen.
If you have ever healed somebody, you'll do it today.
Amen.
If you've ever filled somebody with the Holy Ghost, you will do it today. We just got to come with that right approach, Brother Tim. If he's ever given anybody a revival, he will do it today.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, whatever it is that tries to cause the doubts and the worries, Lord. Oh, Father, bring that original fire that we talked about this morning, Lord, into her heart, oh God. Lord, as a position of a wife, Lord, and a mother, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus, bring your anointing upon her afresh, oh God. Oh, God, bring faith into her, Lord, a resurrection, Father, of faith, Father, that is, Lord, her desire to talk to you, Lord. Open your word to her, Father. Help her, Father, in Jesus' name.
Christ, Lord. My precious sister here, Lord, says, Father, I don't want to go through the things of the world, Lord, but Lord, I want to use my heart for you, Lord. And Lord, I ask you that you bring back that joy in her heart, Lord, that zeal, Father. Oh, God, I ask you to come to her, Father, through that drink of water, Father, she's desiring this morning, Lord Jesus. Bring a revival to her, Lord, and her testifying, Lord, of her music, oh, God. Bring such an anointing, oh, God. Lord, I'm calling on the holy name of Jesus Christ this morning, Lord. Slay these giants, oh, God. Lord, they try to stare her in her face, oh, God. Deliver them into her hand, Father. Lord Jesus, your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I ask you to bring back that joy, Father, in Jesus' name.
Brother Daniel gave, you know, that you want revival in your life, then obey God. And you'll get revival in your life. But also, if you'll obey, you'll bring revivals to others. But it requires you to obey that also. Amen? And so, you know, anytime you see something where, you know, like it's pretty simple, but it seems like people just have a really hard time grasping it, you know that there's a lot of spiritual warfare around that, trying to keep people from getting to that truth. And so the scriptures tells us to be careful not to be beguiled of the simplicity that's in Christ. That gospel is simple and it works, right? It's simple and it works. And so if you don't have a new birth, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can be religious, but you're not going to have revival, right? This is what the thing that Brother Branham, one of his main pushes for his whole entire ministry, he was sent to tell the Pentecostal people, you might shout, you might do all these things, but there's no way that's the Holy Ghost, because the real Holy Ghost will cause you to line up with the Word, with your apparel and with all these things, right? And so it's real simple. If you have the Holy Ghost, it's going to affect your life and it's going to change you, right? If you don't, you might be religious, but you're not going to be with the Word, right? So it's real simple. Either people don't have the Holy Ghost and they think they do, or they have it and they're miserable because they're not obeying it. Right? But for a revival to come, it is a walk of obedience to the Word of God and to the life of that Holy Spirit. It does change you. I was listening to it this morning, the sermon, The Presence of the Lord. And when the presence of the Lord comes, Brother Ram gave example after example, Bible examples, when the presence of the Lord comes into your life, it will make a difference, right? It will change. It causes people to fall down on their face right there in their where they're at and until God becomes number one to you. And you don't care about anything else. It's Him and Him alone. Amen? And so it's real simple. So we want to have overcoming power. You know how a baby learns how to walk? You know how a baby learns how to talk? So I believe this little fella back here has a gift in him to walk. And I would say this, that because that's in there, if everyone who was around him didn't walk, and we're all just whatever, he would probably stand up and walk anyway, right? Because it's in him. But how does a child, a baby, learn to talk? They learn it by listening and mimicking what they're influenced with, right? So now think of that from a spiritual standpoint. This word, the words are spoken. Now learn how to talk, how to speak it, how to, you know what I'm saying, as a Christian. And it's by what others will see, right? Other Christians will see you, what you speak, how you are, right? And so our influence is a lot greater than what we think, right? It makes a lot of difference, amen? But we need to remember, just like Brother Daniel said, God is doing this. God is the one in control. It's not us. And anything that He ever does supernaturally, it might be to bless you, but it's to magnify His name, amen? We believe that. And so the Word will produce an overcoming life, amen? We're glad for that. How many enjoyed the service this morning?
Amen.
Amen. It is good to be in the house of God with each of you. Amen. And take what Brother Daniel has shared this morning and pray over it. And ask God to solidify those things in your life. And you'll see some victories. Amen. And I do believe we are, we're just in an hour right now, but I do believe we're going to see God do all these prayers that we've prayed and all these things. I believe we're going to see those. I've already seen Him move and do things. And you just keep staying with it. You keep staying with that Word, and you run to meet the enemy.
Amen.
Right? You run to meet him with this Word, because you cannot fail. You know, I heard it recently, and it's true. Hell is not an option for you as believers. As predestinated sons and daughters of God, that isn't even, there's no pathway that can get you there. You understand? Because it's not for you. Right? Hell was created or formed for the devil and his angels. And so I'm speaking to believers. Amen? And so believe. God has called you. He's brought you to this Word. And you run with that Word to meet the enemy. And you'll see God never fails. Amen? Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. I don't know if you've got another song you want to close with. Amen? We love it.